Under the skin. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Under the Scales, and the traveling Under the Scales studio has now gone south again to Baltimore. I find myself in Maryland, Washington, D.C. for some reason quite a bit, and actually I've been doing the 95 corridor, so if you want to be interviewed by me, just stand on Route 95 and I'll find you. So I'm at the wonderful house of Andrea Nusanoff, pretty close to Baltimore, and you might know Andrea as AZN Pics on Instagram and Twitter, but she's a wonderful photographer who I met probably in 2012. I see you kind of nodding. But rapidly from there to now, which is only 5 years, I see your pictures everywhere now. And I know why. It's because they're amazing.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And have you always been a photographer?
I have always taken a lot of pictures, partly because I have a terrible memory. So taking pictures and capturing moments for me helped me to sort of reconstruct my past and see milestones and see moments in my past, and it helps me to organize my past.
That's amazing you say that. I have this like incredible lack of being able to remember certain things. One of them is dates. Like, I'm horrible with it.
Right.
However, images, like, in my head that, you know, I can reconstruct, like, an entire vacation I was on.
Wow.
But is that the type of thing that you say without the photos you can't do?
I can't remember dates, names, visuals.
Okay.
Like, it's very, it's sort of one of my biggest faults. I mean, it's not my fault, but it's something that I would love to change, but I can't. So my memory, it has always sort of been foggy, and it's hard for me to...
Well, you found this incredible way of compensating for that.
Exactly. So
it's amazing, and we're lucky to be able to benefit from it as well. So in a way, we're happy that you have that problem because you turned into an incredible artist because of it. Why images then? If photos help your memory, why not take videos?
I'm not great at taking videos and editing them. And there's people out there that are amazing at doing that and really can capture the moment as it's unfolding.
Right.
Whereas I just want to take a snapshot of a moment and capture that moment and hopefully help other people to remember the feeling that we all felt in that moment.
The feeling we forgot.
Exactly.
Yeah. The thing about photos, and I kind of realize it a lot, going through your photos, you know, doing a little bit of research and kind of looking at your style and trying to ascertain what you were thinking at the time when you're taking these, I do realize that there's a whole lot of art that you don't see, and that's the framing of it, getting into the right position, envisioning, I guess, what you're going for before you shoot it,
right?
In a way. And that stuff probably doesn't happen, unless you're like a movie maker, that probably doesn't happen with live action video as much. That's more like the content is the art.
Right.
Whereas with you, there's this art that goes on behind the scenes that maybe we're not aware of, but that's also clearly you put a lot of thought into it, and that's why these photos are always so awesome.
Thank you. Well, what's funny is that I don't get a press pass. I don't have any special access to be able to get certain places. That's partly why I love GA shows, because you just have free reign of the venue, and if you're at a bad angle, you can go somewhere else.
Now, are you one of those, and I don't know if I don't want to get you in trouble here, but do you smuggle in lenses? Because
no.
You don't?
No.
Well, all right. So those are two questions that I was going to get to. I was going to say, A, I assume that you obviously have a press pass because some of these are really up close. And
right.
And the angle that they're taken make it clear that you were then front row, then if you weren't in that little slot.
Right.
Really? So you're a front row rail rider.
I have been in the past. It's kind of gotten to the point where it's so much of a commitment, you know, to wait in line all day and to
so you've really
fight people
the front
off.
Row thing.
I mean, that was it's a big commitment.
Yes.
And I used to do it like if there was a 3-night run, I would devote one night to, you know, waiting online and getting up front and getting those close-up shots of the band. It was so much fun.
Right. So how long ago was this? What's your fish history? And were you always a photographer of fish?
So my fish history goes back to 94. That was our first show was April 17th, 94 at George Mason, which was the Patriot Center.
So you said our, so I'm assuming
that's... Oh, yes. My husband and I, we've experienced this whole thing together.
Oh, okay.
I think I've only been to one show without him.
Okay.
I guess my freshman year of college, my friend Jordan Bush was my best friend at, first I went to Indiana and then I transferred to Maryland, but anyway, he introduced me to fish. He gave me the CD of Junta. Never know how to pronounce it.
I still say Junta, actually.
Yeah. So he made me listen to Fee and Esther.
Nice.
And I was like, what is this? I thought it was so odd. I mean, the nipple slicing and the Esther's
compelling
kind of like
though,
a right? carnival. Creepy kind of.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what to make of it. So it
he
took
steered
me a
you
while.
Away from some of the weirder songs, like, you know, Dinner and a Movie and
that's
to,
true. I don't think we got that far. Okay. I think Fee and Esther.
They're kind of the more normal songs in a way on that album.
They are,
possibly.
But they. So it wasn't until 94 when we actually went to a live show that it really. You know, it really hooked me.
What school did you go to?
What school?
What college did you go to?
University of Maryland.
And so in Maryland, you experienced your first fish show.
Right.
And well, was that at Baltimore? Was that at Meriwether Post?
No, it was at the Patriot Center.
Oh, nice.
So at the time, I was really into, like in high school and college, I was very into what we refer to as classic rock, Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and the Stones. So they opened that night with Loving Cup.
Wow.
And it was a great transition for me because I was like, oh, I know this song.
You right away felt at home.
Right.
That's
I
great.
I felt at home. So, but there were still, they did I Didn't Know, and Trey introduced Fishman as Greasy Physique.
Greasy physique.
And he said something like, and he's going to play a vacuum solo and picture in his mind how he feels about Mike's socks tonight.
Did you give me the date of that show?
That was April 17, 94.
94, okay. All right, let's hear a little bit of that.
I'm so bad, he's so nasty, ain't got no friends.
Yeah, so it took me a while. I saw a few more shows and really got into it. I think Run Like an Antelope was the song that really hooked me. And I think in a way that song is a microcosm of the fish experience because it's not, you know, there aren't 5-minute pop songs, you know, where they're catchy, they're played the same exact way every time. It's the building and you have to be patient with it. And it's the building and then the release of the...
Of all that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at that point, you are a little bit out of control. So I agree.
Exactly.
You're right.
Right.
So that's like the microcosm of the entire fish experience, but also of the concert and also of each song.
Right. Exactly.
That's great. And so at some point, you decided, I'm going to combine my new love of fish and my existing love of photography.
I didn't take any pictures. Like 94, 95, we saw a ton of shows. We went to their very first show at MSG. We went to New Year's Eve at Boston Garden, which was amazing, with the hot dog. And Boston Garden felt like it was going to fall apart at any moment. It was so rickety. And
it was old and rickety.
So I didn't take any pictures during during the 90s.
Got it.
And even when they came back. So we took a long hiatus with the band and even beyond what they did. So from like 96 to 2009, we did the whole adulting thing. Got married. I went to graduate school, became an OT. Had two kids.
Had two kids. Okay. And music wasn't like in the forefront, or,
no.
or did you get your fix through other bands?
No, music was just not in my. On my radar at that point.
You were trying to be a mom and get your career going.
So I taught at Towson University for many years, but I did always manage to throw Phish into my lectures somehow. I would bring up Phish and I would show videos, and you know, I think I converted a few people.
That's good. I hope in a good way. You converted them from normalcy to something else.
Right. Definitely in a good way.
Well, that's really cool. So then all of a sudden you had a new renaissance. When Phish came back in 2009, is it safe to say that then you started kind of photo documenting it a little bit more?
A little bit more. I still didn't have, I don't know what, probably a little Canon point and shoot. And I took a bunch of pictures in Miami when they played for New Year's. But I think I just started sharing them when social media became a thing. So I took pictures back then, but they weren't very good, and I didn't have any way to really share them with people. So I think probably 2012 was when I started.
Okay. So that's kind of when Instagram,
right,
Facebook, all were kind of really taking off visually anyway, making it easy for people to share photos.
Right.
And that's when I started getting jealous of some of your processing of your photos. Remember, I was sending you requests. How did you do that?
Right.
And you were sort of, you know, a little guarded, possibly.
I was?
Well, I think, well, at least I got the impression that maybe you were, my impression was, well, this is my stuff and I don't really want to give away the secret.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so not my style.
Okay.
I hope I wasn't like that.
Well, no, you didn't overtly say it, but I think maybe, or maybe it was just as simple as I asked you too many questions and you couldn't get to all of them. But you did very nicely share this app called Percolator, which I went nuts with, and like I percolated every picture. It's one that turns, it kind of, in a way, puts circles in the photo. I don't have an artistic way of saying it. Do you?
Does it do? Percolator is the best name for it because it's like
bubbles
it. It bubbles the picture.
It bubbleates the picture, but in a way that you can still see the photo behind the bubbles.
Well, with that app and with every other app, it's a lot of trial and error. So with different settings within that app, you can percolate the picture and have no idea what you're looking at. But if you tone it down a notch, then you can sort of see what you're looking at.
So you rapidly became an expert at post production.
Right.
Using apps.
That's where my emphasis has always been.
Okay.
So when I'm at a show, again, I don't sneak in any equipment. I take my little Sony point and shoot. I shoot in auto, which is kind of embarrassing to me because, you know, real professional
photographers would do a lot more.
Would sit there and play with the settings.
Yeah.
But for me, I go to a show as a fan. Right. I want to have a great time. I want to be with my friends. I dance with the camera in my hand. And when a moment, you know, appears and Kuroda does something spectacular and my eyes are just, you know, wide, and that's when I snap.
Then you start
pictures.
Snapping. Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
And in fact, the nights when they do a ton of improv and it's an amazing show and I'm just completely lost in the moment, that's when I take the fewest pictures because I'm in the zone,
right.
You know?
Okay.
I'm in the...
I see. So you're sort of like, you're a fan first, photographer
Absolutely.
Second.
Okay. Absolutely.
I have to ask, because I ask it every single... People have pointed out the famous 300 show question. Where are you on the...
I don't even know. I think I'm around 100. I keep meaning to go back and check do and the count work and check, do the math.
Right.
No, I'm nowhere near 300. Okay. Because like I said, we took such a long hiatus that I missed.
Yeah, if you took that kind of break, then it'll take you a while to get to 300.
It's my biggest regret in
2030, life. 2030, you'll hit 300. Do you have favorite shows that you remember? And I would say post-2009 that we can go back and look at photos of? Or you don't really make that sort of the emphasis, like this is a photo that you tie to this show. You're just sort of more taking random. Oh, you do?
I do, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. People want to know what show the picture is from.
Okay.
And in fact, some people want to know what song was playing when the picture was taken, and that's where I draw the line.
That's you know too much information.
I snapped 600 pictures that night, and
you're not going to go back.
I had no idea what song was playing.
Okay.
I mean,
right.
Something like the balloon drop, then yeah, I can figure out what song it is. But otherwise, it's very hard. But people do want to know what night it was.
Well, so really, when you think about it, the reason that I'm here talking to you is because you've turned your pictures have proliferated. They're everywhere. They're throughout the internet. I saw them in the Fish Companion, the new Fish Companion, and all this happened from 2012. You became like the scene's big photographer. Well, you know, there's a bunch of them now. There's a bunch.
There are,
and you're not.
There's so many talented people that. Their knowledge is so well beyond, you know, they're totally out of my league as far as
I understand. You're not competing with them at all. You're not trying to, but
no.
But in a way, sometimes your stuff is so incredibly eye-catching. And do you attribute that to the post-production you become such an expert at? You can make them pop.
Right. So, first of all, I'm not in competition with anyone. I do this because I love sharing the pictures and I love the reactions that people get that, you know, helps them to recapture that amazing feeling that they had at the show.
Right.
So when I post a picture I usually post it on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and then people share it from there.
Yeah.
If I don't forget, I'll watermark it, you know, just to... So people know who took it.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I forget.
Uh-huh.
And the only time it bugs me is when people share it as if they took it.
Yes, right.
And then all their friends will say, oh, that's a great picture. And they won't correct them.
And, you know, they don't attribute it to anyone. And
right.
And it's gone on and they
right.
find it. Like, maybe I won't say anything now because it's
right.
gone on a long time. Yeah, attribute photos.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's nice when people give me the credit, but
I don't want you to make it. I don't want me to sound like I'm only asking you about the business. But you have turned this into a business as well.
I have, only because people wanted the prints. They wanted to hang it on their wall. They didn't just want to use it as a screensaver. Or, you know, as their phone wallpaper. They wanted tangibly, they wanted physically the picture in their house.
I have two on my walls, and they're two beautiful shots. I have one of Trey, which is kind of the technique you applied to that. Perhaps you could describe it better, but the way I would describe it is you sort of, I don't know what app you used or what happened, but basically there's only like six colors. It's like been reduced to six colors, and everything
right.
else like has been averaged in to
right.
those six colors. And so when you squint, I can see a real 3D picture of Trey playing the guitar.
Yeah, I love that one.
With a light on him. Yeah, it's gorgeous. But
he photographs so well because of his red hair and his red guitar. So the picture you're talking about is a, you know,
there's a lot of orange.
There's
in it.
Red and orange and yellow,
yeah.
And you instantaneously know who it is
immediately.
Because
it's great. And then the other one I have, possibly it might be your most famous. I see it, you know, on the internet associated with your name a lot, and that's the MSG balloon drop. One
right.
where you kept the balloons in color, but you black and whited everything else.
That was really fun. That was painstakingly fun to do.
You mean difficult in a way?
Yes. Well,
do you get down to the Photoshop level there?
So that app was called Color Splash, and you upload the photo, and then it turns everything black and white, and then you choose what you want
Oh, you have to go to draw bring. Like the border around the thing that you want to remain.
Well, you just kind of use your finger and color in the parts that you want the color to come back to.
Oh, okay.
So you're not interjecting colors that weren't there to begin with, but you're bringing out the things you want.
You're saying
colorized.
Here, don't apply the black and white mask to this spot.
Right.
With your finger, though, that's not very accurate.
It is on an iPad where you can, you know, enlarge the picture and really, you know, zoom in on little.
Got it. But I've asked you now off the mic, and I think you just gave me the answer again on the mic. You don't use Photoshop.
I don't use Photoshop.
You could, right? Most of the stuff can be done.
One of these days I'm going to actually learn how to use Photoshop. I generally use Lightroom, which is part of the Adobe suite.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't... When I first started doing this, I played a lot more with pictures. I would, you know, throw in a flaming, you know, fireball or, you know, the moon or just really...
Double exposure stuff?
I've never done that.
Or you mean you just added
I would just
other
add
stuff.
In, oh, okay, you know, funny kinds of things just to make it, you know, really otherworldly. Like the pictures on Mr. Miner's blog post that he did.
Oh, yeah.
Those were all, you know, really fun kind of fantasy shots where Trey's hanging on a wall in a museum, that kind of thing.
And there's kids on the bench looking at the picture.
Right,
of Trey. Yes, right. I get it, right.
Yeah.
And then another one that comes to mind is there's a book that looks like an ancient tome open, and there's a picture looks kind of, you change the perspective, so it accurately looks like a picture of Trey playing guitar, but like in old, you know, in the appropriate colors for an old ancient book.
Right. Yeah. I love that one.
And you call that the helping friendly book.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
that one's great.
I need to go back and look at all of those pictures because I haven't, on Instagram, I repost old pictures. I like to go back and make sure that I haven't posted it like in at least a year so that people don't, you know, it's not boring and I'm not just repeating the same pictures, because when they're not touring, I don't have new pictures to work with. So I go back and,
I see,
you know, bring back old ones.
Is Instagram, now I'm not an Instagram guy, and you actually remembered an old Instagram handle that I had, but I haven't used it in 5 years. Is it as frequented as other sites like Facebook? I get going to because people write stuff, but just photos, you find your Instagram account just being browsed?
I love Instagram because I'm obviously a very visual person and it's all about pictures.
Yeah.
So whereas Twitter and Facebook, there's a lot of, you know, political stuff and a lot of, you know, I don't want to say noise, but a lot of other things people are talking about. But Instagram is just moments of people's lives captured. And I just, to me, it's the ultimate platform.
That kind of goes back to your, you know, that's you prefer, you like the organization of photos.
Exactly.
And then the way that it represents images from people's lives and stuff. That's really cool.
Did I answer the question? What was the question?
I'm going to say yes because I don't remember the question.
Okay. Perfect.
Oh, yeah, it was probably about Instagram being different than Facebook.
Oh, right.
And do you find people browsing it as much?
Yeah. So I have the most followers on Instagram as opposed to the other two.
Okay.
And with Facebook, with pages, I don't know if you know this, but there's all kinds of... you know, algorithms as far as who sees your posts.
Yeah. I have an Under the Scales Facebook page.
Right. So
as opposed to the Tom Marshall page.
So you know that when you post, not everyone sees it.
Yes.
Only a certain percentage of the people that liked your page actually end up seeing your post.
And
which
I never really quite figured that out.
Yeah. So that can be kind of frustrating.
Do you know why that is? Is that because they're trying to reserve, like, if you pay us this amount of money, then this other percentage who didn't see it will see it?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of their gig.
But well, they have to have a gig.
I mean, I get it that they don't want people's feeds to just be advertisements, you know, because some pages are just, you know, advertising their products, and they don't want it to be a lot of advertising, so I get it.
Right. Interestingly, Facebook owns Instagram.
Right.
Fortunately, they didn't mess with it too much.
Right.
The recognition you're receiving, have you actually, like, is it sort of a hobby, or has it turned into a business that you're helping your household, or is it just sort of still at the hobby level, or how does that work, if that's even a question?
Well, I'm not, you know, putting my kids through college with this by any means. I think of it sort of as it, you know, helps me to pay for my fish addiction. So it kind of like cancels each other out.
Right.
I keep my prices as low as possible so that, you know,
Them quite reasonable when I did my orders.
Thank you. I use an amazing print company. So I've tried other companies, and I'm just not willing to, you know, sacrifice the quality.
Right.
I come from a long line of printers, so I have very high standards as far as, you know, the finished product.
Right. Now, is it all on sort of the internal wood frame with the canvas stretched over it, or do you do other techniques?
So the canvas is one technique, and then there's another one called a print wrap or a gallery block, where they laminate the photo directly onto the wood. And they always use a metallic type of paper to do that. So those are kind of have like a subtle shimmer to them.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. That's really, really brighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are
neat. It's a cool effect.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it's not, it's weird. Some pictures I think look better on canvas, and some look better that way.
I would say the tray one that has like, you know, 90% of it's black actually.
Right.
Would be better on the canvas.
That one really looks similar either way.
Oh, okay.
It's weird. Every picture's different.
Right. Right. So, were you surprised that your photos got used in the Fish Companion?
I was so excited. Yes, very surprised.
Did you know ahead of time, or like, did they ask, or did they, like, how does that work?
Just from Twitter, I guess.
No.
I think I've just gotten to know a bunch of the people who, you know, are on the Fishnet committee or whatever it's called.
Oh, okay. So you were known sort of, and you know the people who are doing this stuff now.
Yeah, I guess. And so Philip
Zorbo
emailed me and said, you know, could you send us a bunch of pictures and we'll see if any get in.
And they did.
I wasn't really holding my breath. But I was so, so excited.
That's awesome. I want to ask you about the long line of printers that you come from. That sounds interesting. But really quick, it occurred to me, I don't think I've seen you take these kind of pictures of other bands or musicians. I've seen art photos that you've done of landscapes and flowers and, you know, cool stuff like that. But as far as other artists like musicians, not so much.
Yeah. I think part of that is just because, well, first of all, we don't go out that much, so we don't go, you know, to see other shows.
You're like me.
I see
99% Fish is my live music outlet.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, I feel kind of bad about that because there's so many great bands out there, and we will go to other concerts here and there, but...
Start doing a podcast. It's forced me to see so many bands. I'm not kidding.
Right, right.
Yeah, I've seen more bands in the last 6 months than I've seen probably in the last 6 years.
Wow.
Just because of invites and wanting to talk to different people and stuff. And
right.
I've had a little bit of a reawakening.
Right.
I was even telling people I don't like music anymore. You know? Because I was just sort of, it was because I got caught in my own little rut. And then that's when I discovered podcasts.
Right.
And so I was just saying to friends, no, I don't care about new music. Thanks. No, I don't want to listen to that. But anyway, my eyes are back open again. And now my eyes are really open sitting here in your house. It was kind of neat walking through your workroom where I see a lot of boxes. Do those represent orders that you're about to pack and send away?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a lot.
Those are ready to go.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, I tend to, you know, I'll sell a couple things a week and then do all the shipments at once
so
that I'm not... See, my husband's my shipper.
Okay.
And so he comes home from a long day at work, and I have all these things ready to be packed up and shipped out. So I like to just kind of do them all at once instead of every night doing
it. Right, it doesn't become an every night sort of thing. I see.
Right.
I get it. That's really cool. I saw you're a really great, and I'm not sure when this happened, but Mr. Minor, Dave Kalarka.
Uh-huh.
Wrote a blog post about you, and that's what I was using sort of as the basis of research for this interview.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, do you remember that post that
he
did of you?
That was a long time ago.
Oh, okay, so he had already discovered you as a great fish photographer.
I guess.
It can't be that long ago, because he just said
it seems
it's 2012.
So long ago.
Think,
it was 2012.
2012. Now, the cool thing that he did was, he posted these pictures that you were talking about with, you know, that have some other feature sometimes in them, like the kids sitting in front of the picture, or Trey sticking his guitar out of the frame. That was cool. That sort of represents couch tour, or the webcast effect, you said.
Right.
There's one down here that it looks like you said something made entirely of pictures of earlier shows. This was taken from the show 6/15/2010. But it looks like it's made of lots of smaller pictures of Mike.
Right.
Is that what's happening there?
Yeah, that is what's happening. I don't even remember what app I used to make that. But because a lot of those pictures were older, from like 2009, 2010, before I had an actual camera, you know, a decent camera,
mm-hmm.
I would use apps to play with the pictures so much that you couldn't really tell that they weren't great pictures to begin with. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they were either a little out of focus or they were blurry. And so that I would just have fun with them and
so now you
create
use,
something totally different.
I get it. So now at least you use a super high res.
Yeah, I mean,
camera.
I have a. It's still a little point and shoot. I don't attach any lenses or anything. I shoot in auto. I just basically dance with a camera in my hand and snap a picture when I'm just in awe of what I'm seeing visually.
Okay. If you remember.
If I remember, yeah. Right.
So now here's one, Trey. This is again in that Mr. Minor post from 2012. You added a moon to Kuroda's lights. There's like a moon in a starry sky behind Trey. That's interesting. You know, when I first saw that, I just thought those were the lights. But now I look, that's actually the moon.
Well, so what I would do is I would look back at the set list for the show that was played that night, and I would try to insert or create a picture that reflected a lyric of a song that they played that night.
So this is from 12/31/11, so New Year's Eve 2011. And you right here.
What was the caption?
Slip into the dark of night as I attempt to stay upright. That's from Waves.
So let me just say that I
it
didn't
doesn't
always,
have to it be from that show.
It doesn't have
you
to
said
be from
before.
That show. I would try really hard to pick a lyric from a song they play that night, but it didn't always work out.
And here's another one that this is from the night before, 12/30/2011. Also MSG. We wandered till we reached a bubbling spring. Now, again, whether they played Lizards or not that night, I don't know. I'm not that guy.
Right. I'm not either.
But what I do know is that there's bubbles in it, and this might be using Percolator
that
we talked before.
Definitely.
Okay. And then there's some really cool stuff that you do, even still, and I'm not sure if you're using the same app or post-processing technique, but every now and then it looks like, and I'm assuming these are photos, but it almost looks like someone took a photo and either painted on top of it or just painted an oil painting. Like that,
right,
to me. And here you say, time is a treasure here because it flows in every direction. Is that a Tab lyric? That's a,
yes.
Yeah,
that's from a Tab show.
Yeah, that's a Trey song. That's 10/24/2012. And I actually don't even know that song. Sorry, Trey. I should know every lyric that has ever come out of his mouth.
Right.
But so you like that technique too, where you kind of reduce it in a way to looking like a painting.
Yes. And the app I've been using lately is called Prisma.
Okay.
That has a bunch of different options for different sort of painted effects that you can do. But I don't use those apps quite as much now, mainly because, so Prisma, for example, you upload your picture and it makes this really cool effect and it looks amazing and you save it and then you go to enlarge it and it's all pixelated because a lot of these apps will lower the resolution of the original photo so that when you go to enlarge it, it looks not great.
Okay.
So I'll play a lot more with pictures of, you know, close-ups of the band and pictures of Trey and things like that, pictures that I have no intention of enlarging.
Right.
So I can have a little more fun with those.
Now, a lot of the pictures that I find myself drawn to by you are the ones that are close-up featuring one of the musicians. But you have a lot. You must walk around a lot because there's quite a few distance ones as well, where you're capturing the whole lights and the entire arena.
Yeah, so my favorite thing in the world is a GA show where I have the freedom to go wherever I want. Part of that is to get a different angle. Part of it is because I'm just one of those people that is very affected by the people around me at a show. And if people are, you know, yapping the whole time, it drives me nuts. I'm very sensitive, you
talkers.
Know, auditorily speaking. So
talkers are a problem.
Talkers are a major problem. I have a friend who made these little cards that basically sit, you know, shut up and dance, that kind of thing, that you could hand out to people at a show. I gave one to Jeff Kravitz once, just, you know, as a joke.
I saw sort of a mean one, which is like, the band wants you to be happy, and then on the back it says, but I want you to shut the P-H-U-C-K up.
Exactly. Yeah.
No.
Oh, that drives me nuts.
Yeah,
so if there are people, and if there are people that are blocking the kind of shot that I'm trying to get. Like, I was at a show once where...
That'd be me.
No. I can work around you.
Okay.
But there were people once, the entire row in front of me had these huge fish hats on. You know, actual fishes. And I could not even see. So the moment we got to our seats, I was like, no, I'm out.
Not doing this.
We have to move. Generally speaking, for some reason, it's sort of an act of synchronicity, I wind up having tickets to a great angle, to a great spot for whatever's going on that night, especially for New Year's. So like 2013 for the truck set, I happened to end up directly in front of the truck.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which no one knew that there was going to
be something.
Be there. Right.
And at first you were probably thinking, wow, I'm far away. I'm not
exactly.
Gonna get, yeah.
I was kind of worried. I didn't have a great angle.
And then they drove the jump truck right in front of you.
Right, exactly.
Perfect. That's great. I have to look at those photos. I honestly haven't seen those yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Those
I love
are,
that they use their old amps and
that was
hockey
an amazing
sticks
night.
For mic stands like the old days.
Yeah.
Which I remember. You know, so it was like, that was a poignant set
right.
for me too. I loved that.
That was amazing.
I'm definitely going to look
at
those photos.
That was one of my highlights.
Oh, cool. Oh, wow. Well, I might have to grab one of those. Andrea, and I don't mean grab like I'm going to have Andrea give it to me for free. I'm going to order it correctly through what? AZN Pix?
AZNPix.etsy.com is
okay.
My Etsy shop.
Okay. That's really cool. Please tell me a little bit about what you were referring to about you come from a long line of printers.
So my dad's grandfather started a printing business. His last name was Zimmerman. The company was called Globe. And actually, my great-grandfather was one of seven brothers, and they all went to different cities and started printing companies called Globe. So if you look up Globe printing, you'll see a lot of different things. But my grandfather specialized in rock and roll posters.
And specifically letterpress posters.
Right.
That reminded, I think I told you, I went to, and I always get the name wrong, it's Hatch Show Print, or one of the, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I think that's what you emailed
yeah,
me.
Yeah, okay. I think that's what it's called in Nashville. And it's like a long-standing letterpress company,
right.
Printing company. And in there is nothing but amazing, well, at least one section, amazing old rock posters.
Right.
Which look like what your grandfather
yeah.
made. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, he worked closely with James Brown and Ray Charles, and he, you know, there were posters of Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd, and
so he'd be proud because you're in effect a printer,
right?
I mean, you're a photographer also, obviously a wonderful photographer, but what you do is what printers do, which is
right.
compose it afterwards.
Right.
That's
right.
Really cool. So he'd be very proud.
I hope so. Yeah.
That's great. That's really, really cool.
But my dad, you know, kept the company going, and they did a lot of like commercial art, billboards and decals, and they made the decals that went on the space shuttles, and just really, really cool work.
They put decals on the space shuttle?
Yeah.
I thought it was like really like scientific, like what was on there.
Well, they were. Yeah. they did some really cool stuff, but then they also had the fine art branch that published art, you know, by world renowned artists.
Right.
So that was,
I think I kind of clicked through some of those links as well and found are you involved in that as well?
I do their social media. So
Oh, you've become kind of like well versed in social media now. And
yeah.
They said, hey, could you represent
social
us?
Media is sort of the ideal form of communication for introverts like me. So I can, you know, communicate with a lot of people at once, but never leave the house.
So introverted but extroverted,
right.
In a way. Yeah, that's pretty intense.
Right.
Well, that's great. Well, I mean, I've always, like, you know, I had a band at one point, Amphibian, and I gotta say, I was sort of relieved when I stopped having to be on stage. I like being, I think right. I'm more introverted. And yet, I'm doing a podcast.
You are not an introvert.
No?
Sorry.
Really?
Sorry.
So you're gonna claim you're more introverted than I am?
Yeah. Hands down. Sorry.
Well, it did take you a lot of coaxing to say yes to an interview, and I really appreciate that you did.
I couldn't say no to you.
Well, I'm so glad that you didn't, because this is great. And again, go to azpics.etsy.com.
Yeah.
And check out Andrea's amazing fish photos and also other photos, like some cool stuff.
Yeah, I try to mix it up a little. I do a lot of nature photography.
Yeah, I saw some Costa Rica stuff, some sunset stuff, some
nature.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, lots of fun. Well, all right. Well, thank you very much, Andrea. This has been a lot of fun for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, and thank you all for listening to that episode featuring Andrea Nusanoff. It was great reacquainting myself with her art. I know what some of you are thinking and getting ready to tweet. Tom, you mentioned waves, but then played steam. I know. I am able to tell them apart. I was simply, but probably not effectively, illustrating an issue that Andrea and I spoke about earlier. And that was that she'll attribute photos to a particular concert, but she doesn't drill down to the song level, meaning that her captions can include lyrics or references to songs not played that night. New Year's Eve 2011 was special, not for Waves, which they didn't play, but for one of my songs, Steam, which they featured as the New Year's prank. So I played that instead to remind everyone about that evening. Find Andrea's amazing pictures on Instagram at AZNPics and on a Facebook page also called AZNPics and on Etsy at azpics.etsy.com. And lastly, you should follow her on Twitter. But here's the weird thing. AZNPics was taken on Twitter. So she is at AZNPics, spelled with an X. At AZNPIX on Twitter.
Have a great day, and I'll be back on the first Monday of June.